I serve. This life I lose, I will follow you.
Today we're going to start a two-part series that I want to do called Walking in Spiritual Authority. Now, how many want to walk in God's spiritual authority for your life? And some of you are like, I don't know yet. I haven't heard the sermon, Pastor. I can appreciate that. You want to wait and hear the information before I give it to you. But I believe this. I believe that many of us here, we walk around really not understanding the complete authority God is wanting us to walk in as Christians. And it's really a shame because we're only walking around half-baked. You know what I'm talking about. We're only walking around, and God has got a greater, like I talked about last week, a greater measure of grace for us. I believe he's got a greater measure of authority that he wants us to walk in, but it comes with understanding. How do we get that authority? Where does it come from? How do we walk in that authority? And so this two-part series is going to help answer some of these questions on how you and I can learn to walk in the fullness of authority, spiritual authority, that God has for us. How many know that authority is something that we see in society all the time? How many has ever known somebody who had authority but didn't know how to use it? Isn't that a shame? I mean, maybe they were given a job to do and they have the authority to get the job done, but either because they're too scared or timid or don't have the knowledge of how to use that authority, they walk around and not using their authority to the best way that God has planned for them to use it. And it's really the same in our spiritual walk. Many of us walk around in that same aspect that we walk around not truly functioning in the true spiritual authority that God has placed in our life. And so let's get right into the scripture today. I hope you're taking notes. I told the first service this, and I wanted to reiterate it to you as well, that I hope that you're taking notes. And if not, plan on taking notes, whether it's on your phone, on your iPad, or just a pen on the back of your bulletin will do. How many remember that thing they used to make, those pens that we used to use back in the day on the bulletin? Yeah. Anyway, that's still available for you who don't want to bring your technology. And just make sure you're taking notes and not playing Angry Birds, okay? That's all I ask. Just make sure you're doing the right thing there. But this is really important, especially today when I share a lot of different scripture texts with you. We're going to be digging into scripture, looking at a lot of different texts so you can write that down and go back and study it during the week as God brings things to remembrance. How many know we only really comprehend about 20% at the most of what I'm going to say today if we don't write it down and go back and look at it again. So it's very, very important. If you didn't bring a pen and paper with you today, good news is you can go online. So go online and get these notes online and write them down as you listen to the sermon online. All right, let's look at our text in Walking in the Spiritual Authority, Part 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Now what has happened here, let me set this up for you. Jesus has entered the temple. And as they're teaching there, a man who was full of demonic spirits said, "Oh, Jesus, what do I have to do with you? You know, what are you doing here?" And of course, Jesus cast the demons out. And after he cast the demons out of this man, this is their response. And then they were all amazed. Duh. And they were all amazed. So that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this?" See, they'd never seen anybody walk in spiritual authority before. This was a new doctrine. This is something new that was happening. "For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Luke 9:1 says it like this. "Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them" what? "Power and..." Jesus gave his disciples power and... Jesus gave his disciples power and... authority. God is wanting to give you and I authority. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's time for you to walk in authority." And some of you are already saying, "It's about time. I was ready to walk in some authority. I know. I've been overlooked. Oh. By time, I get some recognition around this place." All right. Walking in authority. So let's answer this question. If Jesus wants us to walk in authority, it's this new doctrine of authority that's come in the New Testament that he's talking about here. Let's answer the first question. Where do we get it? Where do we get authority? Let's look right into Scripture, and Jesus answers this question for us in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. "And Jesus came, and he spoke to them, saying, all," not some, "but all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Where did Jesus get his authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Where did Jesus get this authority? That's a good thing, because you know this authority is given, not earned. Let me say again, authority is given, it's not earned. You ever had someone given authority who didn't, you know what I'm talking about? You ever had someone who thought they earned authority? There's a big difference. When someone's given authority and they operate properly, it happens, you know, it works. But when someone thinks, I've earned this authority, it never works, because they think they've got it coming to them. They think they've earned it. And so this is what's happening here. It's been given. Let's look who gives the authority. John 12:49 explains it. For I had not spoken on my own authority. This is Jesus talking. I had not spoken on my own authority, but by who? The Father who sent me gave me a command and what I should say and what I should speak. Who is Jesus saying is giving him the authority here? The Father. This is good to know. Jesus says, I don't come operating on my authority. The authority I do have comes from the authority given by the Father. His authority came to him by the Father. Look what John 14:10 says. It backs us up. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, look what he says, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Once again, Jesus is telling us where his authority is coming from. It's all been given to him. All authority has been given to him, but it comes from the Father. The Father has given him authority. So how can we speak to demons with authority by realizing what's going on? We speak to demons with authority by realizing as the word coming from the Father. It's the Father who is delegating. How do we speak to spirits, evil spirits who are trying to attack us, our family? We address them by the authority given to us by the Father. Do you believe the Father is in you? Let me ask that question again. Do you believe that the Father is in you? Are you in the Father? Some of you didn't know for sure. I'll get back with you, Pastor. That's a good question. You need to know that. Because if I want to operate in his authority, the Father's got to be me in me, and I've got to be in him. Okay? This is how I walk in spiritual authority. Look what it says here in John 16. It even talks about the Holy Spirit's role in authority. Verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, we know he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. Jesus is predicting the Holy Spirit coming. He said, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his what? Own. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what yet is to come. He will glorify me. This is Jesus talking. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And so that Jesus does not confuse us on the teaching, look what he says immediately following this. But he says, remember this, all that belongs to the Father is in mine. So even though he's sharing what's going on, I'm hearing from the Father. Ultimately, everything coming from the Holy Spirit is coming from the Father. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. He's saying, even though he may hear it from me, I'm hearing it from the Father. And so let me ask you this question. If Jesus needs to hear from the Father to operate in spiritual authority, if the Holy Spirit needs to hear from the Father to operate in spiritual authority, how much more do you and I need to hear from the Father to operate in spiritual authority? Some of you are going to get this today, and it's going to click for you for the first time in a long time. You're going to have some clear understanding. We need to be connected to the Father and hear the Father to walk in spiritual authority. Now, when I get pulled over, not that that's ever happened to me, but if I ever did get pulled over, it's getting kind of high in here, I know, okay. Don't look at me like I'm the only one that's ever gotten pulled over, okay? When you get pulled over and that cop comes to your window and taps on that window and says, I see your license and registration, please. Is he doing that on his own authority? No. Because if he did, we would block. We wouldn't pull over. We'd be like, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Mall cop, see you later. All right, we're out of here, all right? just telling the truth how it is, all right? Just speaking. If you're a mall cop, no offense. I'm just saying.
Boy, I get myself in trouble a lot, don't I? I just... But you know what I'm saying? Who gives the authority to that police officer to pull me over? The city government. So when he comes up there, he's not coming on, my name is Jack, and I need to pull you over. I'm a citizen concerned about your speed, sir. No, he's got the authority delegated to him from the city government to enforce the laws of the streets. And so he comes with delegation. There's a power that comes in delegation. I have 5 children, and my youngest are twins that are 9. And I tell you what, they love it when I get on to my older kids, especially this way. When I tell them, all right, boys, go upstairs, clean your room, Preston, Landon, go upstairs, clean your room, and get some things done there. And they go upstairs, and you hear them going upstairs the whole way. You know what I'm talking about? They go upstairs, and like, and you can just hear the whole slide in the house shaking as they walk. And they're up there about 5 minutes. All of a sudden, you hear a body slamming on the ground and guys jumping and running. You know, the whole house is shaking because they're upstairs. Instead of cleaning their room, they're wrestling around. They're screaming and hollering and having, you know. And so I go get my twins and say, listen, you go upstairs and tell your brothers that if I get upstairs and that room is not cleaned up, I won't tell you the rest of what I say. You can use your imagination. But I just... You should see their eyes. It's like, oh, you know. And they walk upstairs feeling like they're 10 feet tall. Listen right here. Let me tell you one thing right now. Dad said, if you don't get busy cleaning this room, you will not see the light of day for 2 years. I mean, there's something about them that when I give them authority, that they just feel like so much bigger than anybody else. They may be the youngest, but they feel the oldest at that time. They love that authority given to them. They love it when I delegate authority to the youngest. See, in our life, we got to realize that God is wanting to delegate authority to you and I. God is wanting to give you and I authority over things in our life. And so many of us walk around like the young child, timid, walk around, not walking in authority that the Father is wanting to give us. He's wanting to give that authority to us. He's wanting to delegate it to us. But we got to be connected to Him in the correct way. So when I command Satan to get out of my house, it's not me speaking, it's the Father speaking it. When I command Satan to get out of my marriage, it's not me speaking it, it's the Father speaking it. When I command Satan to get out of my children, it's not me speaking it, it's the Father speaking it. When I tell Satan, get off my finances, it's not me speaking it, it's the Father speaking it. I can say things in boldness when I have an understanding about delegation of authority. That God is wanting you and I to walk in this new authority, this new doctrine. What authority is this? He's wanting you and I to walk in the same thing. He gave all authority to his disciples. Who were his disciples? Man, these were just everyday people. These were fishermen, tax collectors. I mean, they were white collar, blue collar, and whatever collar there was. They didn't have somebody didn't even own a collar. I mean, they were bad. All across, different diversity. And he delegates his authority to those who are lining themselves up with him. And so, first of all, we answer the question, who gives authority? The Father. We know that all the authority comes from the Father. He gives Jesus authority. He gives the Holy Spirit authority, and he gives you and I authority. So the question is, how do we get this authority? If the Father is giving it out, how do we embrace it? How do we operate in it? How do we receive this authority? Authority is given to the responsible and taking from the irresponsible. Authority is given to the responsible and taken away from the irresponsible. Isn't that true? This is a very key part of authority. Even today, we know those who are given authority, if they were irresponsible with their authority, most of the time it's always taken away from them. And those who prove themselves responsible receive more authority. You prove yourself on your job as a responsible person who can be on time, who can be faithful, who's a hard worker, who can be trusted. Your boss will always seem to give those people more and more and more responsibility. And when someone is given responsibility of authority and they abuse it And the whole shift work around him rebels because their foreman has no idea how to use the authority he's been given. Then he's quickly removed and somebody else is placed up there. It's just a fact of authority. It's delegated and it's given, but it can also be taken away. So how do we receive this authority that the Father is wanting to give us? Let's go to Matthew 21. Let's look at it in verse 18. In verse 22, he says it like this, 18 through 22. Now in the morning, as he's returned from the city, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And immediately the fig tree withered away. How many know immediately means right then? It wasn't like they came back 3 years later and that thing had, no, it's like in front of their face, it would whoosh, just dried up and withered away. And when disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now, this is the key here, because when we read the story, when I first read the story, I first think that, you know, Jesus is probably like us, that he was hungry, and he was looking forward to having that fig because he's so hungry, and when he got there, there was no fig on the tree. He was like, man, it's like, you know, you ever been in a line at somewhere, the drive-thru, and they closed while you was in the drive-thru line? And you go through the window like, "Sorry, we're closed." And you're like, "I ain't never coming here again. I'm going across the street. You better believe that right now." Man, I had my mind set on having that, and they closed. You know, we kind of want to curse them as we leave, right? Okay. So I think as this right here, we're kind of the same aspect. I think this is what Jesus' response was. He's so mad because he wanted something to eat, and this thing had no fruit, so he cursed the tree. Think about that. Does Jesus need a tree to eat? No. If he can take a couple of loaves of, you know, of bread and a couple of fish and feed 10, 15,000 people with it, surely he doesn't need a fig tree to feed them, okay? We know if he's really that hungry, he can make something happen, okay? He can make water appear. He can make fish frying out there. He doesn't make a difference. He can feed when he's hungry. So the principle was not that he was hungry and upset the tree. There was something greater that he was trying to teach the disciples and let us know about spiritual authority. He used it for an example. And he said, not only will you operate in this kind of authority, he says, but if you'll go to the mountain and say to the mountain, "Be removed," it will go to the sea. This is a big thing because we must realize that God is wanting us to operate in this kind of faith, this kind of authority. So the question is, do we really believe this? Do we really believe that if we went to the mountain and said, "Mountain, be removed," it would fall into the sea? That's a big question, isn't it? That's really a hard question to wrap our mind around. We say we do, but do we really mean it? Do we really believe that? And the question is this, is God is wanting us to have this kind of faith. But what's the key? This is the key right here, because I've seen this abused so much in church and teaching that we believe, we take the scripture and we take it out of context, and then we tell people, whatever you believe, man, go to that mountain. And so we go out inside the hill somewhere and we're speaking to some mountain. Let's see if this really works, you know. Let's do it, man. No one's around. Okay. Mountain, be removed. We're trying to be Chris Angel, you know. And nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. And I'm like, hang on. Did I read it right? Okay. I was like, mountain, be removed. Nothing's going on. Nothing's happening. But it must not work. I tried it, Jesus. It didn't work. You see, because all authority is given to him by what? Hearing what? All authority has been given to him by hearing what? What the Father says to him. So this is the key to spiritual authority. Did God tell you to speak to that mountain? No. You're out there trying to move a mountain. The key to walking in spiritual authority is not speaking to what I want to speak to. It's speaking to what God's telling me to speak to. Then we unlock the key to spiritual authority. Because we face mountains in our life, spiritual mountains. We have things that are there that are obstacles that we want removed. And we're like, remove it in the name. We're all over that thing, man. And nothing's happened. Did God tell us to pray over that? Did God actually want us to move that mountain? Or are we saying, God, I am under your will. I'm under your authority. What are you asking me to pray? What are you asking me to do? And when you listen, many times he will tell you to go to your mountain. I can tell you this. There's been times in my life I went to mountains that were in my life, and I spoke to them, and they didn't go anywhere. I'm like, man, I think it's still there. And I'm like, well, I believe in the name. But I mean, I got everything I could think of. I pulled everything. And nothing happened. There was other times that I was connected to the Father. I was listening to the Father, and he would stir my spirit and say, Gene, go pray to that mountain and go speak to that mountain. I would go over there and I would speak to what was going on, and that thing would just move out of my life. That situation would turn right away. That thing would leave and would do a 180, and things would happen right away. Why? What's the difference? One was I was trying to do it on my own power and my own timing. And the other was God was leading me and directing what I was praying and directing and telling me, Gene, go speak to that mountain. And see, too many of us think we can just walk around speaking to every mountain we see. And we think we're going to speak to every mountain. Did God really tell us? Because authority comes when God, we hear God telling us, and then we operate in what God's telling us to do. There's where the real spiritual authority operates in our life. This is how we learn to walk in it. So the question is this. Is God speaking? It's not a trick question. This is really an easy one. I think you should know this. Is God speaking? Okay. God is speaking. Now the question is, are we listening? That's the better question. We know God's speaking. He says that God speaks and the sheep will hear his voice. He's speaking. The question is, are we really listening? Because the key to walking in spiritual authority in our life is to say, God, I'm going to listen to what's being spoken. God, I'm hearing your voice. It's leading me. It's guiding me. And when I follow the leading of your voice, I'm walking in a new doctrine. I'm walking in the new spiritual authority that Jesus has always intended for me to walk in. There's no better story that talks about this than Matthew 21. I love this story. It says that when Matthew 21 and verse 23, look what it says. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They heard about this fig tree, okay? It's kind of ruffled their feathers. Because he just told them, this is authority that happened, and you can walk in the same authority. So this really ruffled their feathers. And I love this story. It says, by what authority are you doing these things? They asked, who gave you this authority? And Jesus replied, I will ask you one question if you answer me. Don't you love Jesus? I love Jesus because he can smell religion miles away, man. He can smell this religious spirit coming up and rising up. And these guys, Sue said, you know what? We've earned our authority. We studied the Torah for how many years? I didn't earn this ugly-looking hat up here for nothing. We got the hat and the robe, and man, they've earned it. They've been earned their authority. And now Jesus is just giving it away to whoever wants it. Really ruffled their feathers. I love this. And Jesus said, I will ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism. Where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of the human origin? I love this. It says they discussed it among themselves. Can you see all these big hats getting together? All right. I like to buy a fur. I like to buy a vow, please. Okay. What's the answer? And look what they say. They say they discussed it among themselves, and they said, if we say from heaven, then he will ask them, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, then we are afraid of the people who hold John as a prophet. They're like, man, he's got us. So what do we say? Let's get together. What do you say? Good answer. All right. We got an answer. We don't know. All authority is yours, right? And you don't know. Okay. We don't know. And then Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. Now, if we read that we think he didn't give the answer. But he really does give the answer. He follows the answer up with the teaching right here behind us in quotes. He says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. And the son said, I will not. But he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said to the same thing. He answered, I will go, sir, but he never did go. And if we read the story, this story is talking about, this is not John the Baptist as one example and Jesus as the other, okay? He's talking about the Pharisees and the sinners, okay? The Gentiles. This is who he's talking about, the Pharisees and Gentiles. And he's comparing them. And he's saying, one of them rejected me, but later they repented and went. The other one said from the very get-go, hey, man, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father. I'll go. But they never went anywhere. He's like, which one? And he gives the answer. Verse 31, which one of these two is what the Father wanted? The first one, they answered. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you this, that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe in him. I love this because you know what really ruffled their feathers? This was not, it's not that Jesus was operating in authority. They can handle that. All right, he just might be the Messiah. He's doing these miracles, so he's probably got some authority here. It didn't bother them that Jesus was operating in authority. You know what really ruffled their feathers? It was the fact that he was just giving it away to prostitutes, tax collectors, the fishermen, housewives, maids, servants. He was just giving it away. And that is really chapter hide, because they had spent all these years earning their authority, and now Jesus is coming along, giving to all who repent and do the will of the Father. That really answers our question right there. How do we receive his authority? We receive spiritual authority by repentance and doing the will of the Father. People who say, I will not do the will, my will, but I'll do the will of the Father. And it really comes to this. Let's get an illustration. I like this illustration of authority. There we go. All right. If this umbrella represents authority, God's authority, in order for you and I to operate in authority and walk in authority, I must be under God's authority. And when I'm under God's authority, I walk in a new authority. When I'm away from God's authority, I can get over here all I want. If God's authority is right there, I can be over here speaking in my mountain all I want. In the name of Jesus, get out. And it ain't going nowhere. It ain't going nowhere. But when I come and say, God, I am repenting of who I am, the sinner I am, and God, I am submitting my will to yours. I'm under your authority. Then I walk with a new authority. Then I can walk to the mountain, and God says, hey, stop. Pray for this mountain. Believe for this mountain. This thing will be moved from you, and I can operate in a new level of authority. Those of you who've been here a long time, maybe you remember the story I told a long time ago about when I was a kid. How I was riding my bicycle to the store. Remember the days when you would dig through the cushion seats of your couch to find a couple of quarters so you could walk to the store and play those things they called video games, arcades. Remember those things? Okay. Yeah, kids, we used to have to go to the store to play our video games. We didn't have one in every room. We had to actually walk to the store to play Tron or Pac-Man, whatever it was, you know. And I remember if I could get like three quarters, man, I'd make the journey. I'd take my bike to the store. I was good enough, you know, I was going to be Ace when I got done. It was Ace up there on high score. That's my name, Ace. Thank you for my initials. You know, you put your initials up there. Some of you use other words than that. We won't go there. I remember seeing your name up there, but we won't spell it out. Okay. Ace. Anyway, we go to the store. I remember one time I was going to the store, and I was riding my bike, and these bigger boys jumped me on the way, and they grabbed a hold of my bicycle, and they wouldn't let me go anywhere, and they were kicking my spokes in, and they bent my tire up, and they were pulling on my clothes, you know, and just really picking on me, intimidating me. I went home. I was trying to ride my bike home and wouldn't ride. It was all wobbly, you know. I got home. My dad pulled up at the same time I did. And he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, calm down. You know, I try to tell him what happened, you know. These guys jumped me and kicked my bike. I can see my dad just getting so mad. He's like, put the bike in the back of the truck, son. Let's go for a ride. Me and Dad going for a ride, yeah. So we put the bike in the back of the truck. And we get to going around the corner, and we get down to the block, and right before we get there, Dad says, all right, now get your bicycle and ride it around the corner, and I'll be right behind you, son. Don't worry, I've got your back. And so I get out and ride my bike, wobbling back. It's like that, you know? It was wobbling. No lie, this guy see me coming. I thought you told you to come back, and they run and jump me again. We told you don't you come on our block again. And about that time I hear, aah! My dad peels around the corner, his white truck, fishtails around the corner. I go, that's my dad. They're like, oh. They get out of the car and you guys think you're tough, picking on kids smaller than you, all four of you jumping him, blah, 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 you know, and I'll tell your parents and I'll probably drag you across the block with my truck, you know, a few other things he probably said back then. But anyway, the whole time I'm like, yeah. My dad's here. You ain't so tough now, are you? It's like the confidence just grew in me. Why? Because I had Dad had my back. You see, I don't have to walk timid because Dad's got my back. As long as I say, God, where you go, I will go. What you say, I will say. What you pray, I will pray. Father, I'm walking in the spiritual authority that you placed over my life. And therefore, I can walk in spiritual authority in my own life. God is wanting you and I to walk in a new spiritual authority. Our musicians are coming this morning. Let me ask you just to bow your heads for a few minutes. With the heads bowed this morning, I just want to ask you this question. Before we go any further, if you maybe you're here, and we like to ask this question every week because there's so many people who are making life changes decisions every week here at this church. And today, I believe, is no different. There's people here who need to make a decision to follow after Jesus Christ. You're saying, Pastor, I need to walk in spiritual authority. Man, first of all, I just need to accept Jesus as my Lord, personal Savior. And I say, you're right. That's where we all start somewhere. And that's the most important thing. The foundation is that we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I will not embarrass you in any way at all. Nobody's looking but me right now, but I want to ask you this question. If you're here and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you've never prayed that prayer before, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but maybe you have prayed it before. You say, Pastor, I've been a long time ago. And I haven't lived for God for a long time, and today I want to come back and just renew that commitment to Him. If you're here, can you just raise your hand? I would not embarrass you, but I just want to give you a chance to respond. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. See, that's me. I want to respond. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, today, Pastor, I'm ready to renew my commitment to Jesus Christ. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it high. One more time, if I can see it. Thank you. Today's your day. Make things right with Jesus Christ. Don't leave here without giving Him your life, accepting His love and forgiveness. Anybody else today, you haven't raised it, I'm going to give you one more chance. If that's you, raise your hand right now and say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. With several hands that went up today, we're going to say this prayer. As Christians, we're going to say it along with you out loud, and we're going to invite those who raise their hands to say it as well. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. All of my dreams, all of my pain, all of my sin, I give to you today. From this day forward, I will live for you. I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, is the Messiah. The rest of my life, I want to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, yeah, give him a hand clap. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a new decision, a new journey. You need people around you who are going to support you, people around you who can help you in your new decision of going after Christ. And if you don't have a church home, man, we'd love to have you here. Get connected to people who would love to support you in your new decision. It's just the beginning of what God wants to do in your life. Before you leave today, stop by our information booth. We got a free Bible. Some information tells you what you need to do next on your next steps in this new decision you made for Jesus. The rest of us today, I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet today. I'm going to say, Pastor, I'm ready to walk in the spiritual authority that God has for my life. Anybody here want to raise your hands? That's me. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, God wants us to walk in a new spiritual authority. Isn't it awesome that he's not looking for us to be perfect? He's only looking for us to be obedient, isn't he? To his word. Those who repent and do the will of the Father. Walk in new spiritual authority. We're going to sing the song today in closing. Simply says, where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. Let's say from my heart, say, God, I'm ready to walk in my authority.
Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Jesus only did what he saw you do. He would only say what he heard you speak. He would only move when he felt you leave. Following your heart, following your spirit. How could I expect to walk without you? That Jesus made was then surrender. How would I expect to walk without you? For you alone are worthy. You are always good.
Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray.
Father, I pray right now that for every person in this room, Lord, who said they want to walk in the new spiritual authority, they want to walk in the full spiritual authority that you have for us. Father, I pray that as we connect to you, as we abide in you and you abide in us, that God, we be sensitive to hear your voice, to hear your direction, to hear you guiding us and leading us. And God, as we do that, God, we can walk in the new confidence. We can walk in the new boldness of God, knowing that you got our back. That God, you got the authority behind you, because God, you are leading and directing us. And Father, we thank you, God, that you have given us all authority. Father, you've given us all authority. When we submit to that and operate, Father, we can walk in all authority given to you from heaven. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are children who are learning to walk in our authority. And Father, we embrace it today. And we say yes, yes, and amen. If you believe that today, put your hands together. God, I believe that.
Where you go, I go. What you say, I say now. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray now. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say now. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray.
God bless you today. Before you leave, make sure if you haven't signed up, Ben, if you haven't signed up for the hockey trip for Tulsa, make sure you sign up if you want to go there. All the new classes, sign up for those classes. Let us know which one you're going to attend. God bless you. Enjoy your parties tonight. Have a great week.